From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The National Marine Fisheries Service yesterday published a final rule designating critical habitat for three populations of humpback whales, including some areas in Alaska. The federal ruling affects the Eastern Aleutians, Kodiak, Prince William Sound, as well as the coastlines of Washington, Oregon, and California. As KFSK's Angela Denning reports from Petersburg, the ruling excludes Bristol Bay and Southeast Alaska.
The rule establishes about 116,000 square nautical miles of protected area for the endangered Western North Pacific and Central American populations of humpback whales and the threatened Mexico population. These whales winter in warm southern waters but travel north for seasonal feeding on krill, herring, and other small species. In Alaska, critical habitat has been identified near the eastern Aleutian Islands, Kodiak, and Prince William Sound areas. The Endangered Species Act mandates that the federal government create critical habitat for endangered species. Lisa Manning with the National Marine Fisheries Service says the 238-page ruling came after careful consideration of public comments.
The goal is to identify everything the species really needs to get to recovery.
Some areas in Alaska were excluded in the designation, like Bristol Bay and Southeast, because the federal agency determined the economic impacts and national security of those areas outweigh the potential protection of the whales. Manning says NMFS decided to exclude Southeast because it's considered one of the least important areas for conservation of these whale groups.
Out of all the other areas considered, it is the one they're using the least. Most of the whales there are from the non-listed Hawaii population.
Dozens of Southeast fishermen from different gear groups spoke out against the designation in a public hearing in Petersburg last January. Amy Daugherty was one of them. She's the executive director of the Alaska Trollers Association.
We were a little bit concerned about having some lines drawn over our grounds that could potentially impact us. So we're glad that the agency is bypassing Southeast Alaska.
Other fishing groups said they are still reviewing the recent ruling, as is Alaska's Commissioner of Fish and Game, Doug Vincent Lang. The main threat identified for the whales were ship strikes and fishing gear entanglements, specifically pots and traps that have vertical lines, such as for black cod fishing or crabbing. The habitat designation could only affect federal commercial fisheries and not state-managed ones. The ruling could also impact federal activities like Coast Guard operations, oil spill response, seismic surveys, and permitting for Army Corps in-water construction. The Center for Biological Diversity believes this will be enough to help protect the whales. Catherine Kilduff is an attorney with the center.
We're excited. This was a huge win for humpback whales.
The center was one of three environmental groups that sued the federal government to force the designation required by law. Kilduff says now the whales' prey species can be protected, and hopefully the whales can be delisted in the future, like the Hawaii population was.
Animals with critical habitat designated are twice as likely to be recovering as those without. So we know that having these areas drawn on a map increases awareness about where the animals are and what kind of protections they need.
The National Marine Fisheries Service began considering the critical habitat ruling in the spring of 2018, but things became delayed with a government shutdown and then the pandemic. The rule goes into effect May 21st, 30 days after its publication. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
You can view the final ruling and maps of the critical areas in Alaska at kfsk.org. And in the past year, as Alaskans changed their habits in response to the pandemic, social media became a lifeline for businesses seeing less foot traffic. But as Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins reports, access to online resources hasn't been equal.
It is a loud morning at the Anchorage Brewing Company. People are coming and going, working on projects in the pre-customer hours. Among them are Heather Kudick and Jorge Garcia, who own Familia, which is housed at the brewery. The two work behind a long counter and in front of a wood-fired pizza oven, preparing to serve steak and eggs to customers in a few days. They serve food 3 days a week. Garcia says it's a small operation with a big following.
Just a three-man team, and just me and Heather in the kitchen, from prepping to cooking to doing the dishes.
And all the social media.
Familia opened in May 2020. Cudic and Garcia credit a number of things with helping them get off the ground despite the pandemic. Local brewery customers, outdoor seating, fire pits, and social media.
Depending on the menu, like, people come from like the valley or from like all over, like driving so far just to like come eat our food, and like, to me, that's so huge.
They reveal their weekly offerings with photos on Instagram and Facebook, drawing the attention of people around South Central. And Cudic says it's been a big part of growing the business.
We notice the difference on the times that we post, the day that we post. There's so many different factors. We ideally would like to post as early as we can, but because it's just the two of us, and depending on the menu, it can be hard to get a picture in a timely fashion.
The response has been strong. Familia frequently sells out of food before the weekend is over. Cudic says their business model has been working, and they like that it allows them to be spontaneous, responding to the desires of their customers each week. Across town at the Midtown Mall, a handful of vendors are set up at tables selling local products. Katie Wright stands behind a table of vibrantly colored pastries and breads. Wright opened Concoction Breads in 2019, first as a weekly pop-up at Anchorage Remade.
Moving forward, the pandemic happened. Everything kind of shut down. We weren't having the customer flow that we get with the store. So I had to kind of pivot and decide, like, okay, what is going to work for people? What would I need as a mom to make my life a little bit easier?
Wright started incorporating deliveries and farmers markets and leaned on social media to get the word out.
Social media is imperative to making my products available to the consumer at all times. You can kind of see, like, what I've done in the past, what I'm working on, you know, things like Instagram stories and TikTok keep people with you in real time.
But pivoting to have a robust online presence was not easy for everyone.
The mantra that everyone kept saying was, you know, okay, you've got to get your business online. You've got to get your business online. And
that's Emily Cohn, Director of Communications and Development at the Anchorage Community Land Trust.
For businesses that have not been able to do that, you know, they're now not just struggling due to the pandemic, but they're struggling to compete with other businesses who are able to digitally market themselves in that way.
Cohn's organization is about to start an online boot camp to help business owners who haven't been able to make the move online already. The organization has seen a lot of interest in the program that begins in May. They've had almost 70 applicants so far, and they hope bringing more entrepreneurs online will help small businesses grow and level the playing field. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
In other news, as the summer approaches, Alaska's travel industry is preparing for another uncertain season because of the pandemic. Widespread vaccines have helped improve the travel landscape in Alaska, but Sarah Leonard, president and CEO of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, says it's still hard to predict exactly what the summer will look like.
We are shifting towards a hopeful summer of independent visitors as the larger ship season becomes more and more uncertain.
State and federal leaders have been trying to find ways to bring large ships back to the state this year. Leonard says she's grateful for that. Still, she says, summer is right around the corner.
I do think the window is closing rapidly. We're already here in April and summer is fast approaching.
Earlier this month, Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed spending $150 million in federal relief dollars on efforts to help the tourism industry, and he added a new incentive for travelers coming to the state, vaccines. Leonard says she sees the expanded availability as a good thing.
ATI's commitment from the beginning of the pandemic has been to keep our teams and our communities and Alaskans and our visitors healthy and safe.
Leonard says she's hopeful about the independent travelers the industry is anticipating. She says if the state's small businesses survive and continue on a path toward recovery, she'll consider it a successful summer. For more on this and other stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.